The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Get off! I mean, you're fired.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Brian.
Rob.
And Joe.
Joe, you've returned.
Yay. So, for this Arnold and Arnold classic.
Did you have another big business meeting with all your computer-related buddies?
I only show up for Schwarzenegger movies now.
I was going for your secret spy thing, but all right. That's fine.
He's a secret spy for Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife.
Yeah. So when he said, I do, he never said what he did
again.
Wow.
He, of course, did True Lies from 1994.
Rated R.
Directed by James Cameron, who, you know,
makes those movies that people like.
You'll hear about him for the next 100 years with Avatar movies.
Who really loved helicopters until he learned about boats.
Well, it's the
and
water.
And then Smurfs.
What?
With the Avatar films.
Mm. There were skyboats.
Skyboats. There you go. Mm. Unobtainium skyboats.
All right. So what's your personal history with this movie, Joe?
I saw it a few times. That's about it.
Brian?
Read this off. All right, whatever.
Oh, sorry.
I saw it a bunch of times as a kid. Always on TV. I think I never saw it in the theaters. Like USA, TNT, those stations would play it a lot. And I remember liking it because of Jamie Lee Curtis. Legit, right. Like that's like, I was an Arnold fan to begin with, like, because it's Arnold, but like, yeah.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, I remember seeing this one time, like my parents rented it, and I think we watched it. That's the last time I remember seeing it. I do remember seeing, again, like Movie Magic. They used to show how they did the Harrier scene all the time.
How'd they do that, Rob?
With computers.
Did Arnold do it personally? His great computer skills?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, as Rob said, except I remember also seeing it on like TV, TNT and whatnot, here and there. I don't know if I ever saw it in its entirety after that, but I definitely saw bits of it here and
just
there.
Just one scene.
That I rewound over and over again.
And over and over again.
All right.
For it was faster than having to download on a bulletin board. Sorry.
For me, it was always the scene with the plane.
Whatever gets you off, Joe. So, brief history of this movie itself. Believe it or not, James Cameron is a big fan of comic books and once tried to be a comic book penciler. That's a thing. That's true. And he's...
Yahoo.
He's apparently such a big fan of Marvel, in fact, that he stuck Nick Fury in this movie.
Obviously.
That was not even subtle, but Charlton Heston's character of
Nick Fury.
Spicer. Yeah, is basically just Nick Fury. He's got the eye patch, he's got the scar, he's got the attitude.
Rick Anger.
James Cameron also apparently fought really hard to get
out of Batman and Robin.
Tom Arnold onto this movie. He auditioned, but the studio was like, you know, he's kind of making a bad name for himself with this whole thing with him and Roseanne, and they didn't want him, but Cameron really fought for him. Which is kind of funny because Tom Arnold only auditioned to meet James Cameron. He had no intention of actually being put on this movie.
So what are we doing here?
We'll be asking that a lot. Arnold faced one of his most difficult missions on this movie, which is learning to dance.
To not touch Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he failed that mission.
Yeah, we'll get there later. But he took 6 months to learn the tango because he wanted to be at least as good as Al Pacino in Scent from a Woman. That's just a thing. All right. Helen, originally in the stripping scene, was meant to go full nude, but Jamie Lee Curtis was like, no.
That's fine.
Happening.
She had the ability to say no to that at that point.
Yeah.
And we had the ability to fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm. She also, I think this is somewhat famously known now, but when she fell off the bedpost, that was not scripted. She just fell. That's why you actually see Arnold kind of jump up out of the chair there for a moment.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Similarly, when, you know, she was getting all super sexy and whatnot, and he drops the tape recorder, that was also not intended. It happened, and Cameron was like, no, we're keeping that. Elijah Dushku broke a rib during the whole Harrier jet scene. I'm guessing when she fell on that scaffolding thing, but
sure.
I don't know.
Don't care.
James Cameron almost made a Spider-Man movie around the same time, but he felt the technology wasn't quite there, and Spider-Man was going to be played by
Elijah Dushku.
Yes. I can't remember his name now from the Terminator. Matter. All right, whatever.
Oh, no. From Terminator?
The John Connor kid?
No. The one, his father. Goes back in time.
Oh.
Oh, the other guy who's in all cameras movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah,
Who's Kyle name Reese. I'm utterly blanking on now. Yeah. Yes, Kyle Reese. Thank you.
Yeah, I forgot that actor's name.
Hicks?
Yeah, the guy who played Hicks.
He was stuck in there somewhere. Oh, yeah.
He would not be a good Spider-Man.
No.
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 I'm glad that never happened.
That would be like Spider-Dad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like Spider-Man and his amazing friend, Spider-Man.
At best. But anyway.
Doc, I don't know why I've lost my powers. I think I have a cold.
So, also, the opening scene where we get that whole little dance party and whatnot. It was, in fact, very cold outside, where they had a dressing tent for all the extras to get ready in. So they filled it with a bunch of heaters, which caused one woman's clothes to catch on fire and cause a big mess. And because of all this craziness, everyone was paid an extra $50.
And a pizza.
And a pizza.
Yeah.
A pizza shit.
Yeah. Yahoo.
All right. Anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
Probably too much.
You are correct. All right. Anyone want to get? No, sorry.
What? I'm going to say 80.
I'm feeling a hundy.
Word? I was only going to say 75.
Joe is right. It's 115.
Wow. Shit. Zouks.
Anyone want to guess at how much money this movie made?
210.
I'm going to say 180.
You fucking stink, Joe.
I didn't do anything.
That was me.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
Surprise!
Oh my God. That's horrible. That's
what can like I say level. Except you're welcome.
Holy shit.
For the smell that's inside your nose.
I thought you like pooped already. You really that shit.
Hey,
like,
it's okay. It's okay. You're welcome.
I'll also have you know.
But you might want to wash all of your clothes.
I did stop at Taco Bell before coming here.
You pariah of
well, you like you mentioned it earlier. So
yeah, and you what did you tell me?
And that does.
What
smell.
Did you tell me?
I told you to do it because I was going to do it too.
You told me Moe's.
Well, that would have been even worse.
It's an upgrade in taste, but it's just as bad.
Yeah, where is there even a Moe's around? There's no Moe's around here.
No, there's one near my place. Anyway, what 210.
What was like
180? That's like outside North Haverbrook. I can't. I can't take the monorail all the way up there.
Monorail.
I don't know, 200?
It was 379.
Wow.
It's made bank.
Dang you.
Yeah, it's a popular movie. 94 was also a little lean on good movies. So.
What are you talking about?
Independence Day?
Didn't Blade Trinity come out in 94? No, wait.
No.
Didn't we just watch something that came out in 94?
I don't think so.
Probably, but that kind of is my point. Anyway, so who's in this movie, Joe?
All right, well, you got yourself an Arnold Schwarzenegger returning to the podcast.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Jamie Lee Curtis also returning to the podcast.
Even better thing.
Tom Arnold, not welcome at this podcast.
Oh, but he'll show up again, yeah. I'm sure.
Bill Paxton, also returning to the podcast.
Always happy to see B-Pax.
Tia Carrere, also returning to the podcast.
All down here, downhill from here, my dear.
I'm not even saying who these people are. Oh, well, we'll talk about that while we're going. Art Malik as Salim Abu Aziz, the bad guy. And a very young Eliza Dushku as Faith the Slayer.
As Dana Tasker.
Yeah, that last scene, that would not have gone well for the terrorists.
To be fair, I don't think we get enough of Faith's backstory. This could be it.
Yeah, true.
So I've got some controversial news for all of our listeners. I didn't watch Buffy, and I could not give a crap less about who Elijah Dushku is.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
She's a 90s kid, and that alone annoys the hell out of me.
You hear how nobody cares? Can you hear it?
I want people to care. I want them to go to 4ampodcast.podbean.com and comment on this episode's page.
Okay.
Call me names. Tell me I'm wrong. Hit me, baby. One more time.
So, after that disgusting bit of whatever that was, let's get into this movie, shall we? So, as mentioned, we start out at a dance party.
At Lake Chapeau. Lake Hat. I approve of the name.
That, wow. I did not even notice that. But great. So, you know, everybody's getting fancy, except our buddy Arnold, who is currently swimming through some frozen water.
Mm-hmm.
He's cutting some pipes to get through this grating system.
A fence.
Mm-hmm. A fence, whatever. Well, if it's a fence underwater, is that still just a fence, I guess?
Yeah.
All right. Whatever.
Anyway.
All I know is I was thinking he had to cut like 12 of those damn bars off to get through.
He is wide.
Arnold is breaking into this complex.
Yes. He does so with a bit of ease. He's James Bonding it up. Throws off that wetsuit for tuxedo.
Mythbusters tested that. That one does work.
Wearing a tuxedo under a swimsuit? How would that work?
No, like you could totally, just show up, take the wetsuit off, and you're fine.
That's a
why did they? Was that like a later episode?
Late season. Okay, yep.
That was like a mini myth that like some fan requested.
Where Adam's just like, I just want to go build things out of Lego, and Jamie's like, get out of my office or I'll kill you.
No one was in Jamie's office at the time he said that either.
No. All right.
So, Arnold's looking around and he spots one Tia Carrera. He's kind of smooching with her.
Oh, you can't miss her.
Yeah.
No, because she's in everything.
He's got his two wingmen in his earpiece.
Yeah, they got Tom Arnold.
Giving him all the information he needs.
Other guy. Sorry, other guy.
Was that the guy that was like facilitating Geve Sutenberg to like make love to the gorilla in Congo? The other guy that was with him, was that the same dude?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Rob's mind is blown. What was that face?
That was the, what are, Congo? What?
Yeah.
No, remember the guy that was with
Geve? I remember Sesame Cake, and that is it.
Yeah.
And Amy Tickle.
Yeah, the third wheel in that relationship.
Oh, thank you, guys. I have to take another forget-me-now tonight.
All those memories came flooding back.
Wait, just to clarify, are you Amy?
Rob had the look on his face like he had a war flashback.
Yeah.
My son just brought me a t-shirt with a skull.
All of those Capitalist Man logo.
I think it's a stingray on there. All right.
So, Tia Carrera's character's name is Juno Skinner.
Sure.
Skinner!
Mm-hmm. Skinner! He hooks something up to a computer.
They hack some files.
We hack some files, all 90s style. Mm-hmm. He's flirting with Tia Carrera.
Alright, so it shows, like, Windows, like, what was it, 3.1? Like, 0.11, something like that? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like 0.14? So it was, like, early, early Windows. Like, that shit would have taken hours. You would have got, like, as much info as on, like, a calculator.
Yeah, it's I do.
Well, I can break in about 4 hours, but it's going to take 7 to defragment the hard drive first.
I'm going to say it's going to take several hours just to load the computer. Things got to boot up for the next 24 hours.
Oh, man.
But... Yeah, while that's happening, he's doing the tango downstairs, which
is not a euphemism.
I guess you got to give some leniencies because this is sort of a comedy? ?
I mean, it is.
It was a comedic attempt.
Yeah.
But
it's got a few good moments.
I like he grabs her. He's like, "Would you care to tango?" And like pulls her onto the dance floor. But the music hasn't even started yet, so it's like, that was very convenient timing. They just happen to start playing the tango now.
When a giant,
he is a very special agent.
Yeah.
Apparently.
When a giant Austrian man starts tangoing in front of you, you start playing tango music. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, I guess. All right, so yeah, he's dancing around until things get a bit shady, and he's got to take off. Not before getting those digits, though.
So yeah, I was a little confused about Boob business card. So I don't think she was wearing a bra. Does she just have like a business card pocket in that dress?
Maybe.
Is that a thing?
Why not?
Ladies, write in.
We have no listeners related.
It's a good idea.
Wow.
Just Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
We love you, Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
Megan, I'm so sorry.
Oh, hi, Megan.
These pigs.
Is there a market for boob pockets?
Also, I don't think you necessarily need a pocket. Just kind of between the cloth and the boob. Just kind of sits there. If it's tight enough dress, I think that could work.
It's I'm not getting involved in this.
Sweaty.
Yeah, that seems awkward, but...
It's going to be like rectangular outlines near your nipples. Like, I don't know.
It's a turn-on for Austrian men.
Huh. I mean, it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe she's just got one on each side, just in case. Anyway, so...
Maybe they're her pasties, so her
yeah,
that's very possible. In case
she has a nip slip.
Yeah.
But, so the jig is up. Arnold's on the run now. He blows some shit up.
Goes like, can I see your invitation?
He is my invitation. Boom. He knocks some dogs out.
That guy should just pull the gun out and shot him right there.
Hold on. Let's not skip on the dog.
Yeah, he knocks some dogs out.
First of all, I just want to say that guy apparently didn't shoot him because the explosion caused him to double over for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. But yeah, so Arnold is running from some dogs. He is suffering from trauma from Conan, so
probably
he's like, not this time. Wheels around and just smashes these dogs' head together.
Just Hulk Hogan coconuts these two together.
Now, he does the most impressive magic trick where these dogs jump up, he grabs them, and the force of his grab turns them into rubber puppets, which he smashes together.
That's actually quite common in movies, Rob. You should be used to this now.
It's amazing.
Also, when you fall off things, you tend to become a cartoon.
Yes, I did notice that. And when you get run over by a truck, you turn into a doll.
Yes. But you're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Just put a bandana on it. Nobody will know.
I know Arnold's strong and all, but like, you could take two dogs and bang their heads together all day. They're just going to get back up and bite you.
Yeah. Well,
they did get up.
They got right back up. Mm. They were like, the fuck?
I think that was more just so it was like, he's not hurting dogs. All right, audience, you can still like this character later. But he goes wheeling down the mountain.
Yeah, if he had grabbed one of the dogs and like King Konged its jaws open, that would have been a different scene.
We'll save that for the horror. Just
bite their tongue out.
Yeah, horror movie cut we're making of this movie.
So now we get like a extreme biathlon event here.
Yeah,
that's the biathlon. That's the event where they ski and they shoot.
The dumbassalon.
Yeah, it's like after the first two or three guys skiing with automatic weapons, not being able to hit Arnold, you think one of them would be like, you know, I'm just going to stop and aim.
Yeah. And not run into this tree and get killed.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that doesn't happen. Meanwhile, we take them all out.
Tom Arnold's character is for some reason some slapstick, like car driving away kind of slapstick. Well, it's like sliding on ice, shit like that. Like it's unnecessary. I don't get why they. He couldn't drive straight for some reason.
Extra tension.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, I think we're trying to add some humor into this. Yeah, where there just really isn't any.
Yeah.
Oh, what? And then we got the other computer quote unquote hacker.
Yeah.
He's talking about having his hand up or the girl's dress. Cracking the files.
It was like oddly forced. Like
it was rapey, is what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good word for it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bottom line, he meets up with a van. He shoots like a dozen skiers, and then they drive away.
Oh, also, quick side note with forced humor, we get some of that. I think maybe the first case of that when we see that Arnold is speaking "quote unquote" perfect Arabic. Mm-hmm. Which they decide to spell out for us.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
You've never seen that in subtitle before.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that was not perfect error.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, since you mentioned it, that is something that would be in a comic. Like there would be an asterisk when somebody's talking, and in the bottom it would be like, speaking in perfect Arabic.
Yes. But that kind of works for the comic because there's no audio, so you have to explain it.
Yeah, you don't know what Arabic sounds like perfectly. You don't know.
No, but we don't need to know that.
Why would he be speaking in Arabic to this guy? Like, that seems like way more suspicious. If he's going to each person and speaking to them in a different language.
I think that's actually why the guy went and got the other guards. He was like, yo, his subtitle said perfect Arabic. I don't know what's going on with this guy.
That would be funny if he looked at that like perfect Arabic. What? Yeah.
Or he actually finished his sentence with in perfect Arabic.
I think then we're getting into Hot Shots territory.
That shit was perfect.
Which one was it? It was like Loaded Weapon or something like that. The one where they're speaking Russian and yeah, it was Loaded Weapon because it was Emilio Estevez. He tripped over the subtitles.
Yes.
Like kicked him off the screen.
I forgot about that movie.
All right. So they get away and they go home and Tom Arnold like gives them all his stuff to become Harry Tasker again.
Yeah.
And that's it. He goes home to his boring home life.
Yeah. Got a kid. Got a gift for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be reminded to put his ring on, but he's really not a great father or husband, which kind of works against this movie, I think.
I mean, we don't really know for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, the way it's portrayed, like, he may be lacking in some areas.
He's a nice guy, but he's not an exciting guy.
Right.
Anyway.
But he also just doesn't seem to be too, you know, attentful. Like, he's kind of, like, taking his wife for granted and shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, he just killed a bunch of people. He needs to decompress. I think he's just happy to be home.
You speak perfect Arabic and murder a bunch of people and then ski down a mountain and then swim underwater.
He just ran down the mountain.
Oh, ran down the mountain. You run somewhere and then...
just anywhere.
just run.
Just run down a mountain. Yeah, yeah.
Just run a lap around the house. We'll see how we're doing.
Attentive.
Just run from here to the end of the room.
You know what? If I'm going home to Jamie Lee Curtis, I would be. All right.
You wouldn't have left her at the beginning.
No.
That's right.
That's not Jamie Lee Curtis, though. That's glasses and hair in a ponytail.
And bowl
Jamie
cut.
Lee Curtis. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That haircut is not doing her any favors, but that's the point.
No. But remember, this is the 90s. Like, you put glasses and a weird haircut on a girl, and that's it. She's
instant
ugly.
Ugo. Yeah. Just, she is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I let girls put glasses and weird haircuts.
Because you secretly think if you were just given a bet, you could turn them into the hot girl.
Maybe that's it.
So, Tom Arnold shows up the next day. He's going to bring Arnie into work. You find out he's apparently got these, like, Ray Charles sunglasses that have, like, a...
I believe they're more commonly known as sunglasses. But,
I do want to point out...
they're, like, super big, though.
Mm-hmm.
One joke that slips under the radar that goes for the rest of the movie is when she's giving him his coffee in the morning time, she's like, oh, something happened to the whatever. It's kind of pricey, so I slept with him to get some money knocked off the whatever. He ignores it. Like, but then part of the movie, you're like, maybe he shouldn't have ignored that.
Yeah, later on when he finds out that's actually what she's been doing, he gets real pissed.
Real bad about it.
He didn't say no.
But anyway, so there's a little camera in his cigarettes, so they finds out Elijah Dushku's stealing from him because she's a shitty kid.
Dude, she sucks.
Which, this is another one where, like, I get this is probably more accurate considering what a shitty parent he is, but, like, why does she need to be a shitty kid?
90s kids suck just as much as 90s movies.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Spoiler alert, kids are shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Matt. So, I don't remember what's happening now. Oh, he goes back and gets berated by Nick Fury here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, they suspect that there's this guy named Khalid who's trying to buy 4 nukes. And they see they found some evidence of some money transfers, but they can't tie anything together yet. So Nick Fury's like, you haven't got shit.
So go get shit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is showing not only lack of care for his wife, but generally Arnold, even though he's a spy, is not very observant. Because not only does he miss the comment about sleeping with the plumber to get the, you know, discount or whatever, he apparently either A, totally misses this picture of this terrorist when he's in the briefing room, or B, in a minute or two when he goes to this art gallery, totally misses that guy is standing like 2 feet away from him. Because he's just there, just out in the open.
Well, I don't think at that point they had a picture of the guy yet. The picture they had up was of a different dude.
No, I could be wrong, but I could have sworn this guy's picture was bandied about at some point in here.
I think that's later.
Yeah, after.
Yeah. Afterwards, after the bathroom gun battle.
All right. I'll give you that.
So anyway, basically they find out that this guy is giving $2 million to Juno Skinner for some art. So that's where the investigation has to go.
Yeah. Fortunately, he has a card covered in her scent.
So he does some flirting. They're talking about stuff, whatever. He makes some deals. He's going to come back, talk to her again soon. When he leaves, the terrorist dude shows up and just bitch slap his
Salim.
Yo, he smacked her mad hard too, like out of nowhere.
Well,
called her a bitch.
I like how he's like, yo, that guy was an agent. It's like, how the hell do you know?
And why didn't you do something about it then?
Yeah, like, he's like, everything's bugged now and all that. He's and he hits her more than once too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if at some point in the movie she had like gotten him back for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other way, also, like, he comes in yelling, like you said, you know, like, everything's bugged now. This, your office is bugged. Your phone is bugged. Like, then shut the fuck up. What are you doing? he's like, you know, I'm not going to take any chances. I'm going to send some dudes after this guy, see what's going on.
Well, this guy is also, he's kind of hands on. He's like, I'm going to come too.
Yeah. Brilliant move.
Yep. So.
So in this, Arnold's wife calls. He's like, yo, it's your birthday. We got dinner for you. Like, come back on time. He's like, yeah, I'll do it at some point, I guess.
I mean, that's how I feel about my birthday. Mm-hmm. I don't want to show up.
Same.
Don't make me a cake. I don't want to be there.
Same.
Yeah, I usually try to skip it.
Yep. Oh, we're sad. So.
Same.
Yeah. these guys get out. They start following Arnold around.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into a mall area or something, whatever. Heads into his bathroom. Lays out the little cigarette camera deal. Mm-hmm. Starts taking a piss.
That was old guy in the toilet.
These guys, they come in with guns. You know, their plan is just to shoot Arnold. Why you got to get up all close on him and stuff? Just shoot him. Like, he's right there.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. Like, why wait? Like,
it literally just, as you get in the door, pull out a gun and shoot him. Done.
So, Arnold basically, like, knocks the gun out of the big guy's hand and then shoots the little guy. The little guy's dead. And he has a pretty cool fight with the big guy once they're disarmed.
But, they just destroy this bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, Arnold is just a monster and, like, rips this hand dryer out of the wall.
Have you not seen Arnold? Yeah. Well, you just watched Conan, like...
Yeah, you know, he abandoned the tactical and went to this full Sasquatch.
Full Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he beats the piss out of this guy with that hand dryer.
Sure does.
At one point when he's running the movie, I'm like the mighty Sasquatch in the motion.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that was before, and he's running from the dogs. I was thinking the same thing, like, look at that Yeti go. Snow is his home.
If you want to learn more about the tactical Sasquatch, listen to our Commando episode, available on our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com.
I also half expected him to get to the top of that hill and just curl up into a ball and roll down it.
Another thing,
Goro or something.
I don't get with this big guy that he's fighting, though. Like, so his secondary weapon is just a straight razor? Like,
Now, in all fairness, there's a lot of hair in this movie.
Yeah.
He might have just had that.
That might be after he beats you up, he defaces you or something.
I think that because the guy died, he's the reason why the guy at the end of the movie is as hairy as he is.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that.
I'm just saying.
So that guy was like the barber of the operation.
That was one day's hair growth.
Yes. So yeah, the straight razor goes over about as well as you'd think, and that man gets beaten to death with a hairdryer and then gets his face flushed in a urinal.
Yep.
Cool off.
Yeah. But now Salim does a cool move here. I like how he used the bus to elude Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
And then he comes in with a AK-47 and just shoots the shit out of the whole bathroom.
Poor guy in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That guy was committed to his deuce. Like,
it's probably still coming out.
Stop.
At that point, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do because you're busy shitting yourself.
Like, the good news is I can't piss myself if I'm sitting on a toilet with my pants down. At least that's centrally located.
The bad news is I'm leaned down so far I have nothing to do but smell my own stink.
You have a bathroom gun battle. Then, like, this guy's like, clearly I've bit off more than I could chew fighting Arnold here, so I'm running away.
Yep.
And meets Tom Arnold outside, and Tom Arnold makes good use of a light post as cover.
And that was part of the joke, because he's fat and the light post is not. Mm-hmm. And like somehow only the light post gets hit, but still, like, come on.
Like, seriously, it was ridiculous.
Well, this is the weird thing. Tom Arnold and Arnold and everybody, like, they're in this kind of family-friendly spy movie, but all these terrorists are in a Three Stooges movie for some reason. It's just an out-and-out cartoon.
This is, like, one step from Spy Kids.
This is.
Like yeah. Tom Arnold is the bridge between this and Spy Kids. Like,
you think so?
Like, because if it was more Tom Arnold in this movie and, like, two more kids, you're not Spy Kids.
Yeah.
I will raise you and say, if at any point Elijah Dushku became a spy here, I'd call it Spy Kids.
That would be the sequel. Be that Harry and Helen got captured, and Tom Arnold has to use Elijah Dushku's character, and they have to go rescue him. Yeah, basically.
Or three, whichever one.
Also, I believe the literal plot to Spy Kids, or at least one of them.
Say it's a Spy Kids movie. But now Jamie Lee Curtis goes full nude.
Now? Like that?
Yeah, like this, in this circumstance.
It's an odd choice.
What year Jamie Lee Curtis are we talking?
Right now, I still watch it. I don't give a fuck.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on right now. I mean, it's
she's about to see her in Halloween this year.
She's eating a lot of yogurt.
It's been 23 years.
Okay.
And I think she was in her 40s when this happened.
Wouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah. She's still in good shape.
I mean,
she and all that probiotic yogurt.
Julie Curtis, holla at me.
So the Christmas with the Cranks, I think she's in a revealing outfit in that.
No, I forgot about that movie.
And
for good reason.
Yeah.
I don't think it's great.
All right. So what is the point here? What are we trying to do with this?
I don't
know. I'm trying to say Julie Curtis, I'll holla at you. What's up?
Well, yeah. No, that's fine. All right. Yeah.
Whatever. So this guy's like, I got to go. I'm going to GTA style snatch a dude off a motorcycle and drive away.
That was funny.
And not drive down a street. Like, I'm going in buildings and places where it's not advantageous to be on a motorcycle.
Well, he starts out in streets, but when Arnold starts chasing him, I think he's just trying to go places he don't think Arnold would follow or can follow, would be my guess.
Because I don't know. He GTAs crazy. A motorcycle. Arnold, Red Dead Redemption's a horse.
Yes.
Which, yeah, it's a police officer on a horse, which you will find in certain areas or whatever. But, like, he says, I'm an officer, I need to commandeer your vehicle or whatever. But it's like, I don't think that's how that works with other police officers. Like, he knocked him off the horse.
He said he was a federal agent.
Still, like, I don't think you could just knock him off the horse and take him.
I mean, there will be jurisdiction issues to sort out later, but he's a really big dude.
Yeah, he's like, I'm an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Your horse. Mm-hmm. I need to crush your poor horse's spine.
No, but for real, like they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Like, legit.
Well, but he couldn't just ask nicely. Oh, whatever. So he gets a horse. He goes tromping after him. They go through, buildings, side streets.
They're in a kitchen and going everywhere in this hotel.
Yeah. And of course, at one point we just get into an elevator,
mm-hmm.
like you do.
And he takes a hostage.
With a motorcycle and a horse.
So
now, it would have been interesting if they were in the same elevator.
I was just saying, if you want to make this a comedy, that's what you do.
Yeah. Well, just a fight just between a man on a motorcycle and a man on a horse in an elevator.
Just a kick fight.
Yeah.
Well, either they're just, beating the shit out of each other as this thing goes up and it's crazy. Or it's a situation where somehow they had to be off the things, and like Arnold's trapped behind a horse, he's trapped behind a motorcycle, and they're just like flailing at each other, but they can't reach or something.
But that's not what we get.
No,
we get, elevators have maximum load capacities.
Mm-hmm.
Horse does not fit into that. Like, just.
Yeah.
It's problematic.
So I remember this scene being a lot better.
As do I.
When this dude freaking gets out on the roof of the hotel and he's like, why the fuck did I come up here in a motorcycle? I guess I'm going to have to jump. Where did
he think he was going?
I don't know.
Well, luckily he had like a physics-defying motorcycle and could turn into a cartoon. Because
it was GTA.
He just crashed through that window and flew for like a quarter mile.
Yeah.
Like, Like, does Evel Knievel kind of jump into a pool in the next hotel?
See, that's the part you missed, where the terrorist group he works for is Venom. So his motorcycle halfway through turned into a helicopter, and he was able to get the rest of the way.
It would have had to, because, I mean, and the CGI on this jump is only a hair better than, like, Snake Plissken jumping on the pickup truck. Like, it's not good. You're like he's just kind of floating. And it's clearly, like, he's not actually doing that jump.
And they couldn't even give us the courtesy of, like, halfway through he jumps off the motorcycle or something, goes the rest of the way himself or something.
There's, like, a Mario
Yoshi like,
kind of jump.
So he's...
But that wouldn't work either.
He's kind
of... No, but...
Yep.
So why... At what point do you choose ride a motorcycle off a building over...
It's really hard to shoot Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I guess.
Apparently.
And it's just not as hard to just land in a pool on a building two blocks over, I guess.
Full of people that aren't going to question what's happening and just let you go.
Right, of course.
So Arnold now, he's like, all right, well, I can do that on my horse.
Yeah.
Horse is like, what the fuck?
Would they, like, would the feds not alert all of the police in the area?
You would think, yeah.
That this dude is a terrorist and on the run. Like, wouldn't that be a thing?
One would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, he just landed on the roof.
At the bare minimum to try to get civilians out of there and everything and just contain the area.
It's like, hey, this dude just landed on the roof of this building. He's probably going to take a while to come down. Why don't you surround it?
Yeah, there's no way he's getting down. Even if he just runs down the stairs, there's no way he's getting down that building for a few minutes.
For that matter, and it's like, because movie, but there was a lot of gunfire in that bathroom. And then the dude rode a motorcycle and a horse through some largely populated places. Like, the police would just show up by now.
Yeah.
That would just be a thing that happens.
So, whatchamacallit. So he tries to do this jump with the horse, and the horse is just like, no, it stops.
I know I'm not making that, so fuck you.
And like Tango and Cash style, Arnold just goes launching over the top of the horse and over the side of the building.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the horse pulls him up, but like if you're pulling on the horse's reins, like hanging off of its face, essentially, that horse is going to freak out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like when it pulls you up there, it's probably just going to kick you.
He has no problem punching horses in the face.
That's true. I mean, in a hand-to-hand combat, he'll still beat the horse up.
I'm honestly a tad surprised that with the full weight of a flying Arnold, that didn't break the horse's neck.
it just bolo off the front of
him. Speaking of the police showing up, he drops his gun at this point because he's hanging off the side of the building. Like, that's going to have so many issues right there. Like, it's a firearm on the street. It's got your handprints all over it. Like, it's a lot of paperwork. Mm. That's all I'm saying.
So, bottom line, he goes back home and he missed his birthday party. And his wife's all sad, but she's doing that. No, it's okay. Yeah. I'm not sad.
I'm not sad because I'm banging some other dude. I mean, it's okay.
So he feels bad the next day. He's like, I'm going to go surprise my wife on her break at work because I want to make up for, you know, missing out yesterday. So let me go surprise her.
Now, they're at this point, they're investigating. They, like, found out who this dude is.
Right.
Like, this Azeem guy, or Salim, I should say. And, like, you know, they're like, we got to get this dude. And he's like, nope, got to go make it up with the wife.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of that coming. Yep. So be prepared. Stops off at her office. He's about to come around the corner and surprise her when her coworker is just like, hey, that dude's on the phone for you. She answers the call.
Bill Paxton!
It's a Bill Paxton. Surprise! He's claiming to be some kind of spy. He needs her help. He needs to show up at the normal spot, yada, yada, yada. So she's going to duck out, go meet with him. And I can only assume that this is maybe a new job or Jamie Lee Curtis is not that friendly because... Apparently, her coworker has never seen her husband before, guessing.
If he's not around the house much, do you think he's around her job much?
Mm. No, but I would think she would have a picture.
Maybe she does, but, I mean, cubicles, like...
Sasquatch, when you take a picture of him, he's blurry.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll give you that. I will give...
It's never stood still long enough.
Point Joe. But yeah, and turning around is enough to fool his wife, so who knows? But so yeah, she sneaks out to this Chinese food restaurant.
Well, they have this like weird dinner conversation first, And when he, and then he like walks the dog outside to get Tom Arnold to,
oh, this poor fucking dog.
Yeah, to wiretap or to put like all these sensors on her pocketbook and stuff. And basically just totally misuse government resources.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, the government pretty much does it all the time anyway, so.
That's his defense, but it still doesn't fly.
I like how he's so sad when he walks out of the office. He's like, right. my wife is cheating on me.
Tom Arnold's like, all right!
Finally. He's like, so let me sign up for that.
Yeah, that's brutal, too. And he's just like, dude, it was only a matter of time. Like, you're never home. She's a woman. She's got needs. Like, that's rough. Arnold almost gets hit by a bus as well here, and I totally expected him to just, like, Hulk punch it.
Punches it out like it was a camel.
Yeah, that like, or, like...
The bus just flips over.
Or, like, he doesn't, you know, he's not paying attention enough. The bus hits him, but it just crumples around him.
So she goes to meet Simon at the Chinese restaurant, and... Yeah, he's just got this I'm a secret agent shtick going on here.
He's telling her all this nonsense, you know. They're listening in because they bugged her purse now, as we said. And they find out, like, he's claiming these guys that died in the bathroom were, he took them out. He was chasing this other dude and yada yada. So they know he's full of shit, basically.
Well, they don't bug her now. They bug her after he wiretaps her.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning two, he bugs her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, well, I mean,
we must just put it all together.
Yeah.
It don't really matter.
He's stalking her hardcore style and using government funds to do it.
Yeah, this terrorist plot that's going on is now, you're done with that for a while.
Oh, yeah. You don't see that for like 20 minutes or something.
Yeah. You barely see him secret agent for a while. Like, he's now it's just Tim stalking his wife.
Well, also, like, it comes up several times because Tom Arnold is like, dude, we have like real work to do, and he's just like, fuck you, we're doing this. Like
nuclear warheads.
Yeah. You know the world's in danger. My wife is cheating. Like, all right.
Yeah. So he puts a tracker in a purse. He wiretaps his own house. Wiretaps her office. He gets at one point once he sees who the guy is. He goes to the guy's job. And gets the guy to basically admit that his shtick about, like, basically he fools women into fucking them, finds one who's, like,
the at one point, does he claim that Jamie Lee Curtis could suck start a snowblower?
Yes,
he does.
Yes.
I believe it's a leaf blower. He also says...
Oh, leaf blower, I'm sorry.
He also said she has an ass like a 10-year-old boy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. And a little weird. Not at all the truth.
Not at all the truth.
Nope.
I have seen Jamie Lee Curtis's ass, and I've been a 10-year-old boy. And there are no similarities there.
Basically, Simon's a scumbag.
Yeah,
Simon has some cognitive issues.
And I'm pretty sure he's wearing the same outfit he wore in Predator 2.
Probably.
I think it's even the same mustache and everything.
But a quick, he just got off the set. A quick poll for our audience. Please write in if you've ever heard the term ass like a 10-year-old boy.
Please don't.
We're going to learn things about people that we don't want to know.
Like, I want to ask police questions ever. Yeah. Like,
listen,
like,
those of you listening that may or may not be on a registry somewhere, you don't have to out yourself for our sake. Just enjoy the podcast and
buy a shirt.
I know.
Buy a shirt. It'll help pay for what you've done.
To clarify, I didn't mean like anyone that said that about a 10-year-old boy.
It's all right. Where are the Doritos?
Anyway. My Doritos. Where are Tony's Doritos?
Okay.
So now
he ran out of my Doritos. I cannot be held responsible for what I say.
He appropriates a bunch of resources to do this op, basically, where they're going to make a move on Helen and Simon, because Simon's about to seal the deal on Helen. And
there's the community Doritos.
They like do this really subtle helicopter tailing of the car. That there's no way that they would not notice that helicopter behind them.
Yeah,
being they're in a convertible.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like 50 feet up in the air behind them.
Yeah.
And piloted by James Cameron, by the way.
Mm.
Yahoo.
Well, at least he did the voice, yeah. She's definitely got her head in his lap now. Yahoo. So, they Track them down to where they're going. Mm. Some shitty little trailer.
That's a classy move, by the way. Like, you shouldn't be seen until we leave the city. You should get your head down. Let me help you.
You know, I've tried that so many times, and it hasn't worked. Mm-hmm.
I would be like, why don't you put the convertible top up? How about that?
Is that why you guys won't ride around with me anymore?
Correct. Yep. Correct.
So...
You don't let me ride around with you anymore because I actually called your bluff.
Yeah, and you bite.
Mm-hmm. You got to be ready for those things if you're going to invite people down there.
Rules of the road. Rules of the road. Oh, so they're at this trailer, and now he's like weighing in real hard now. He's like, I need you to be my wife for this mission I'm on. Here's some Paris tickets and like... like Your role will be this, so let's role play it some so you get more comfortable being in the spot. So like
convenient.
Yeah. So he has her on the couch, they're cuddling up, and he's like, no, sit closer, you know, be more comfortable. I might have to touch you like this during it.
And that's when he gets a little rapey.
A little?
A lot.
I was being gentle. Yeah, like him.
This is awkward for me, too, as he's, like, trying to shove his tongue down her throat and shit.
And his hand up her skirt.
Yeah. Finally, she's like, no, kicks him off. But just about then, the whole end of the trailer just explodes off.
Yeah.
And the military shows up.
And Arnold has, like, 15 people show up to this fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, a whole SWAT team. They're all wearing ski masks and everything. And Arnold has, like... just this amazing murder face coming right out of that ski mask. Like, you're looking at that and you're like, oh, God, it's not going to go well for Simon right now.
Quick side note. Somewhere in here, Tom Arnold even makes a comment about, like, pulling a whole team off of some project or mm-hmm. whatever to do this.
Yes.
That's how the nukes got in.
Yeah.
I'm calling it. He's to blame for this shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, what you call it? They take Helen out. She knees Tom Arnold right in the crotch.
Yeah.
Another guy punches her, and then Arnold punches that dude.
Hey!
It's my wife, you idiots!
And then I do appreciate the helicopter view of Tom Arnold just walking away like, oh, my balls! Yeah.
Son of a bitch! So they take her back to their base.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like her. She has some fight in her.
I like mm-hmm. her. It's a better foreshadowing for later when she actually has to deal with shit. Because she is not just, you know, the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they take her to the interrogation room. Yeah. Tom Arnold is just being the worst.
He sure is.
I mean, in all fairness. So like, I see it like Arnold is his best friend. In his mind, Arnold's his best friend. So he's trying to get like his wife to say some like embarrassing shit about his best friend. trying to get to say some shit.
Well, funny. Arnold is his best friend. I don't think he's Arnold's best friend.
Right.
Wow.
But, no, but he's trying to get her to say like, so you weren't quite fulfilled, right? He wasn't holding up, right? Like,
just admit it. Admit it. But also, yeah, like this is one of those things where like, how do you not suspect something's dreadfully wrong here? Because all they want to know is like, did you cheat? Do you love your husband? Like.
Well, that's what, finally she's like, I've had enough, and starts smashing the window with the stool.
Which is awesome.
Oh, she gets lit.
Stupid. Yeah, I told you I didn't sleep with him. I didn't fuck that dude.
Please believe me. Please believe me.
So, yeah, basically he finds out that his wife still loves him.
Right.
She didn't have an affair. I'm pretty sure that she's not lying. And, whatchamacallit, he's going to give her the adventure that she wants. He's going to have her go on a secret mission. Again, you know, very illegal. And he's going to use the code name Boris, and she's going to use the code name Doris.
Boris and Doris. Mm-hmm. Adorable.
I wish when she had said, like, Natasha.
Yep.
If Tomo would have been like, damn, that's better.
So now they have to deal with Simon over here.
Yeah. So they bring him to Niagara Falls or something? I don't know where.
That's just like a canal or something.
Yeah, whatever this. Some kind of dam.
But this dude, like, he falls apart fast.
Well, yeah, he totally meant, like, I'm just a scumbag. I'm totally weak. I'm cowardly. Mm-hmm.
I do this to get laid. It doesn't really work that often.
Yeah.
I've got a little dick.
He does admit to having a tiny Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Pisses
himself.
And then, yeah, he wets himself and he's like, Because he says, if I ever saw a real gun, I would probably... And they put a gun in his face, and he just wets himself. Like, would a real spy pee on themselves?
So
they just leave him.
Arnold's like, okay, this guy's had enough.
Yeah, fuck this dude. He's pathetic. They let him walk home in his underwear.
After Tom Arnold shoots at his feet a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, because even after they're like, get out of here, he's just like, no, you guys are going to shoot me. Like, don't kill me, please.
So, like, what's standing there going to do? Like,
I don't know. But, yeah, so they finally leave him. They set up this thing for Helen to go through her secret mission.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her to dress like a whore and go to this hotel.
To dress sexy.
No, dress.
Tony doesn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm. No. I was trying to speed through the fact that they tell her that she's going to be a whore and just dress sexy, but whatever.
Well, she doesn't know that till she gets to the hotel.
Yeah,
and now we get that 90s trope of, like, you just take the glasses off, rip the trim off your dress.
We also get that 90s thing where you can just, like, rip at your clothes to make it better, because that works.
Mm-hmm. I usually need to have a big buff guy with a straight razor come at him for a while.
Yeah.
Before my clothes look better.
She also douses her head in some gross water.
Mm-hmm.
What if she takes water?
Flower water. There had to be like a bathroom or something nearby.
Something.
I know this is the first mirror you've come across for a while, I guess. But yeah, duck into a bathroom somewhere.
But I go now. Okay, so she's hotted up and everything. And she goes to open the door and just falls over on her heels. Yeah, and she goes in this room here to meet whoever this guy is.
Yeah.
Surprise, it's Arnold.
In the shadows.
Now, this is one of those scenarios where, like, Hollywood lighting versus real-life lighting. Because, like, we're not supposed to... I mean, she's not supposed to be able to see that's Arnold, but, like...
There's no way you can disguise that frame.
Yeah, it's clearly Arnold. Like, you know, that's your husband. Yeah, like,
of 15 years.
Yeah, you'd recognize his silhouette.
And there's a reason they have a hard time finding a stunt double for him. He kind of stands out.
Yeah. He's got a distinct frame.
Yeah.
I mean, granted.
No.
Doritos, one of those?
No.
You good? All right.
I mean, if Willem Dafoe got super swole, he might be able to pass his role.
Wow.
I was thinking Willem Dafoe in one of those muscle suits.
I mean, think about it, everybody.
What?
What's sad is because William Dafoe in Boondock Saints, he could play both characters in this scene. And that would be a total nightmare.
I mean, he could play him. Yeah. It would not be passable or watchable.
I'm sure someone out there would enjoy it.
There was a firefight.
Oh. All
right. So he's using a tape recorder of some French dude. Tape recording of some French dude to have a conversation with her.
Yeah.
Like,
telling her what to do. And
fast forward on a Walkman is not, like, gonna accomplish what he's doing here.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, Kevin McAllister's
talk boy.
Talk boy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I also like you can always perfectly rewind to the part you need to.
Yeah.
Just, that's how it works.
He knows exactly how to do
that. He's a specially trained agent. Who has to fool people for a living. He's practiced. I don't know.
So
I think the guy making the recording summed it up the best when he said, "Es merde."
But so Jamie Lee Curtis is supposed to, Helen is supposed to put this bug in the phone, but she's got to dance all sexy for him.
After she takes her dress off.
Yeah, she takes her dress off, gets down to her underwear and starts dancing awkwardly, like, doing the Elaine Bennis dance or whatever there. And it's like, no, you gotta do it like sexy.
So I'd have been like, yeah, more of that. more of that.
Whatever gets you there.
But
she really gets into it.
Admittedly, it's quite a sexy dance.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A little comfortable in my pants.
Yeah, she's got a lot of good things. You know, in all the right places going.
Was your wife in the room as we were watching that too?
Like, yeah, she sure was.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those ones
you
where
say,
like,
take notes for later.
1994.
No, she said, take notes for later. Yeah.
Rob does have that panty and bra set.
I'm the whore.
Except when he falls off the pole on the bed, he just ripped it off.
Can I please skip the part where I dunk my head in gross water?
So, no.
So, all right, here's the thing, though. So she goes there wearing this, like, it's like librarian's night out dress. All right. So, yeah, she rips all the, like, fluff off of it to make it more of, like, a cocktail kind of dress sort of thing. But then when she actually gets into her underwear.
Yeah, that's
she's wearing, like, stuff. I don't remember what the type of underwear this is called, but like
underwear.
No, like what style is it?
I don't know.
Why don't you
she
know?
Had like a thong going on in the back.
Yeah, it was like it was like
not quite a thong, but it was.
Well, it was super high cut. Like goes all the way up to her hips. Like I don't know. It just I would not expect to have that she owned that pair of underwear.
Well, it's a good one, I guess, if you didn't want panty lines.
Sure.
Show in your dress.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe she didn't own sexier dresses, but she
and we got
knew
to
how
see
to get sexy underwear.
All of her ass, which was nice, and her really nice body.
And, yeah, in the middle of it, Arnold just drops the tape recorder.
Yeah, it gets a little too sexy for him.
But if, like, I'm glad she didn't do nude for this scene.
Mm-hmm.
It would have changed the feel of the entire scene.
Yeah, right. Plus, in 1994, like, when I'm 14 watching this, probably with some friends. It would get a little awkward.
I watched this with my parents, like I said. Yeah, like,
be like,
I remember.
Well, can we pause? I got to go to the bathroom.
And I'm pretty sure if this had gone full nude, we would not have been watching this with our parents.
Mm-hmm. No.
I couldn't have seen it on TV if it had gone full nude.
Yeah. But he tells her to get on the bed. He starts dangling a flower over her face.
Can we just talk about how she licks the bedpost?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's a classy suite, so like
Doesn't matter. Maybe
clean it more often. Maybe.
You think so?
It's pretty gross.
I think she got soul herpes.
Yeah. They probably have to like, you know, wash coke residue off of everything on the regular.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking it's a classy bedroom or a classy hotel, so it probably only has things on it and hasn't been inserted into things, but it's still gross. That's it. It's public use.
I don't want to theorize about this bedpost.
Point is, don't when you go to a hotel, guys,
don't lick anything.
Try not to touch things as much as possible. In fact, but
I was also wondering during the scene where the music was actually coming from.
Yeah, I wondered that.
Was
myself.
That just coming out of his Discman?
Yeah, that was
that would
next,
be a totally different scene. Like I'd like to watch
track.
That.
Maybe
the speaker is not producing enough presence for that to work.
So he tells her to get on the bed and close her eyes. So he's like, I'm thinking that he's going to reveal himself at this point, surprise or whatever. He like gets on top of her, you know, like rubs the rose up, whatever. And then starts making out with her before he said open his eyes. I'm like, she thinks you're the creepy guy still.
She thinks she's being raped right
now. Like, yeah. You didn't set her up for this. Like, you didn't.
Well, this is why I said, like, what is the end game here besides divorce?
Because,
like, she opens her eyes right now, like, she realizes you, best case scenario, she doesn't hit you, but, like, she's going to be pissed. Like,
that was Eric's question at this point was, you know, does he want a divorce?
Yeah, like, this is not ending well. You sent a SWAT team into this trailer to fuck things up and put her through all this stress and dance half naked for you. Like, there's no way this is ending well. But
it ends with her smashing him across the face with the telephone.
Several times.
She kicks his ass.
Kicks him a bunch of times.
She hits him like two or three times with the telephone, kicks him a couple times, and starts to run out and then runs back to put the bug on the phone and runs out again. All right.
No means no, dude. And that's when this terrorist group just breaks in.
This terrorist group that nobody's been monitoring now.
No.
Finally, he's like, Helen, wait, it's me. And she's like, Harry, what the fuck? Then the terrorists come in. Like, at first, I couldn't remember if this was part of his deal or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was part of the adventure. And I was like, wait, no, this is the terrorist for real.
Like, yeah.
It's like, I don't know why you guys haven't been paying attention to us, but we've just been following you around this whole time.
Yeah, even though you would think that somebody would be monitoring this building that you guys are in.
Yeah. How the fuck did they know that he was here?
Well, because they've had free reign while everybody's chasing Bill Paxton around.
I don't know. It'd be one thing if they had some sort of plot line going where there was like a traitor inside Omega Sector that was helping this terrorist or something.
Or there was a tracking device in Tia Carrere's boob card.
Yeah. maybe Tom Arnold was would be the traitor and his character has some sort of interest. No.
Make it the French guy. Whatever.
Yeah. He was just like, it was too married. Could not take it anymore.
Fuck those guys.
So
they're kidnapped.
Yep.
They're taken to a plane.
He's trying to come up with this cover story that Helen's just some crazy hooker that thinks he's her husband.
Yeah.
I've been there.
She's as the hooker, right?
Yes.
All right. She's, you know, she's freaking out because she thinks they're after her because of, you know, the whole, her whole adventure and whatnot. And yeah, they're both going
whole adventure, not her whole adventure.
Well, I like how he's tried his hardest to lie to Tia Carrere here or to Juno Skinner. And then Helen's just like, how do I have this locket?
Well, yeah, where'd I get this ring? Where'd we get that kid? How'd I get this picture? Like,
he's like, God damn it.
Yeah, woman, shut the hell up. What about this aren't you getting? Mm-hmm. Shut up. But yeah, they both get knocked out. They find they're on some island tied to a chair. Some dude's going to torture them in a couple minutes.
Well, this is after they meet the big bad here. They meet Salim. And, you know, Salim basically uses Helen to force Harry to go along with, like, validating that his nukes are real.
Right.
At which point, you know, he tells Helen that he's a spy and she's not tied up. So she punches him right in his face.
Yeah. Right in his dumb fucking face.
I like how much Tia Carrere is enjoying this. Mm-hmm. But then, also, quick side note here, we find out the nukes, they got them in by hiding them in, like, ancient statues?
Yeah, 5th century BC statues.
How did they get them in there?
Ancient aliens.
Fair enough.
They probably cut a hole in it and, like, replastered it up. And she's the expert on
So why'd they have to break them?
What I never got is, like, why didn't they just make these statues to begin with? Like, why go through all the trouble of getting, like, a 5th century statue? If she's the expert and could say, like, no, this is legit.
Yeah.
And this guy wants to buy them. It's not going to be...
That's why, you know, for a moment there, I actually thought the point was, like, you know, she was saying something about the four horsemen or whatever. Mm. So it was going to... I was thinking, like, oh, there's five of them and that fifth one has a nuke in it. But
I think...
No, they just destroyed them all.
There have just been warheads in there for 2,500 years.
Yeah, well, ancient aliens put them there. Yeah. Ancient alien Russians.
Okay. Yeah.
Would those be the crystal skullhead vodka aliens from...
I believe they were in humanoids, which is why the statues look like weird...
Those statues had sick beards.
Centaur dwarves.
Okay. So, yeah. They got a bunch of nukes. They plan on blowing up this island to prove a point. They're going to set up the bombs everywhere else.
This dude's rattling off his manifesto about trying to get all American troops out of the Middle East and all that. And the fucking camera runs out of batteries. And this poor cameraman. he is so scared.
To be fair, presumably he had one job.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was doing with this battery.
Henchmen have been killed for less.
Yeah. Like, listen, dude, stop watching your soaps on the damn camera and leave that battery charged for when we need it.
Yeah, but this was 94, where that battery was probably only giving you a good 10-15 minutes to begin with.
It would have been a funny take. I mean, I should have been cut out, but anyway, but like, if he had mic troubles and then, like, killed the guy who gave him a bad mic, and then, like, now the cameraman is bad as that, he's like even more scared. Yeah.
All right, so but they also find out at this point that Helen had a transmitter on her.
In her purse, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so Tom Arnold knows where they are. Mm-hmm. He's sending people after him, yada yada.
Now, at this point, Harry's done what you needed him to do. He verified the nuke's authenticity. Like, why are you taking him off to torture him and all? Just pew, pew. Like, you don't need them anymore.
Well, because they want to know what...
what agency he's coming.
Yeah, what agency he works with.
Yeah.
I don't know why that matters.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe so they can take credit for killing like they can name off the agency.
I guess.
That he killed one of the operatives for.
I don't know. I guess he thinks he's got the upper hand here.
So they give some truth serum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have dealt with this a lot faster.
Yep.
Like, maybe you mess with the truth serum, but just start taking off toes or something and until he talks.
Or just be like, hey, I'm just going to keep stabbing your knife till you give, I mean, your wife till.
And keep stabbing your knife.
You know.
Tell me what's up. Yes.
I'll keep stabbing your wife till you give me the answers.
Listen, they're all not on top of things, okay? No. None of them have had a shave or a haircut in, you know.
That's true, yeah.
Four or five days. Oh,
God. It's like Roger Rabbit. I can't help myself.
No! That's not the end of the song, Joe.
Not the dip.
So anyway.
Yeah, but this is also where we meet Potato Man.
Yeah, the dude carrying her around, he looks like a friggin' Muppet.
He does. He's Sweetums. Yeah. Oh my God, that's legit, what it is.
Legit.
See, I said he looked like one of those Mexican werewolf kids.
See, I said he looks like he should have been in Flight of Dragons. That's one of those people.
Yes, yeah.
Similarly,
he's a real-life Rankin and Bass.
Yeah. Similarly, I said that he was one of the trolls from the David the Gnome series.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone remember those? He kind of looks like that dude from Lost. The heck's that guy's name?
Oh, yeah, Hurley. Yeah.
Hurley.
So...
Like so, Harry like, Hurley?
He looks like if you took a potato and decided to make it look like Hurley. That's what he looks like to me.
So we spent a lot of time in this movie on some bullshit. Could we have, like, found out more about this guy? Because you see him and you're like, what's this guy's deal? Like,
what's your story?
Really
what's
interesting looking
on?
Dude.
No, we'll never know.
He's the mascot.
You know, could you just have a conversation with Juno for a little while about something?
Does he even die on camera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's the limo driver. Okay, never mind.
Should have been like, you know, I was going to shave today, but like, you killed my barber yesterday, so this is, I haven't shaved all day today.
We
so
only have like, one straight razor. Like, David like, had it, and you shot it.
Look at me. Look at me now. Yeah. This is what you killed my barber.
It's been 5 hours. Yes. Can you imagine what I'm going
to
do?
My head is
like
a perfect
tomorrow.
Circle, and I've gained 100 pounds.
By tomorrow, he's going to look like that He-Man character that's just a fuzzball with a face in the middle.
All of them.
He looks like Snarf. But
he does look a little. It's just another Rankin and Bass character. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, to the truth serum scene, like, I think it dropped the ball on funny. Maybe there was like funny outtakes for it.
See, I don't know. This is where the movie, I think, starts redeeming itself for me. Because, like, I like this part. I like when she's sorry. Like, you know, have you ever killed anyone? He's like, yeah, they were all bad.
Yeah, well, like, she could ask him, like, anything. I hope there were outtakes of her asking him, like, all kinds of just dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is him just dumb shit.
Well, that's what I'm guessing might be the thing, is, like, they might have done that, but Arnold's maybe not the best at improv, so it wasn't worthy material.
Yeah, but you got Tom Arnold to feed him lines. Like.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm amazing at improv. Maybe, perhaps you are all homosexuals too.
All right. Enough out of you, Rainier.
So,
But yeah, I do also like the whole thing, like, you know, ask me anything I would normally lie about. And she's like, are we going to die? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Probably going to shoot you. Probably torture me. So I'm like,
so I like when Samir comes back, you know, and he's like, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm thinking about killing you. I'm going to use you as a human shield and throw this tool through that guy's eye. And then I'm going to snap your neck. And he's like, well, how are you going to do that? And he's like, oh, pick the handcuffs.
Yeah.
That just does all of that.
Yeah, proceeds to go through the motions. I also, nice death here where he grabs this meat hook.
Yeah.
And just nails that one dude in the gut and drags him back in.
The only thing I didn't like about that is that that's not a stealth kill.
No.
Like, if someone did that to me, I would freak the fuck out.
Yeah, that's not an instant death.
That's
either.
A loud and violent
yeah,
death.
Yeah, that's squealing like a stuck pig.
Well, if he hooks your lungs on the up hook... Like, you're not screaming.
Hey, that's true.
Well, I felt like he hooked him right in the heart and just killed his, you know, knocked his heart.
Maybe. It wasn't that clear.
Didn't
know. At least I didn't notice that
it
one.
It was but just anyway, a movie, you're stabbed, therefore you're dead.
Yeah.
So, like, the rest of the movie from here on out is basically Jamie Lee Curtis going,
I think Brian was watching the movie in his head.
He's still thinking about that dance scene.
He was watching a yogurt commercial, if you know what I mean.
Making a yogurt commercial.
Well, it was a makeup.
Glad I was not here for that part.
Well, protein and probiotics.
I don't remember those noises, but
no, she's. I think he means she's in stunned amazement.
Yeah, like the whole
Arnold does crazy shit.
Because a lot of those noises are drowned out by Arnold just committing wholesale murder on a lot of people.
Yeah, again, she just moments ago found out that he has killed before, and now she's watched him kill like 12 people in a row. Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not even
sweating.
It's
a bit much.
Like, he's doing like kickflip moves with an AK-47 and like gunning a bunch of people down, snapping everyone's necks.
What the hell was that shit?
I don't know.
They stole his boobs.
Yeah.
But he just like, kicks that gun up like it was a skateboard.
At least he legitimately did it. It took like 20 takes or so, but he did legitimately do
that. Oh, did he really do that? Oh, that's kind of awesome, though.
Because these days, that would just be computer generated.
Yeah.
Like someone throwing sunglasses at you.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said it.
Or from pushing like a different snow on time your face. Zone and they just fly straight at you.
Or pushing snow on your face. Mm.
It's done.
Brian has defeated the chair.
That's fair.
We've got some 4 a.m. technical difficulties here.
Please stand by.
Congratulations on doing this.
Yeah, I fear that will happen to me eventually.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're not made for someone of my stature.
No, the legs even, they buckle when I get on them.
Or species.
Fuck you. Big guy, fuck it.
I'm saying they're not made for people.
Oh, okay, all right.
I thought that was going somewhere else. Yeah. Terrible.
Like, what the fuck are you trying to say?
I was a little hurtful. I was a little tender.
I'm saying the chairs suck.
So we're going to pause the podcast for a second so Brian can beat the fuck out of Rob.
I didn't even say anything wrong. We need to hug it out is what needs to happen.
All right, you start hugging Brian. Brian will start slapping you. And
hold on. Okay, first of all, it was obviously a misunderstanding. So if you two would like to hug it out, please go ahead. Second of all, while you do that, I will inform Joe. If that happens, we are recording that.
Yeah.
are you kidding me?
I got my phone ready.
Okay.
So So they're fighting stuff and things getting shot and like things are happening.
Yeah. So a bunch of people die. We find out they've armed the bomb. Mm-hmm. They've put it in the ground and covered it with cement for reasons.
Well, so presumably if you get there, there's no way you're digging the bomb out before it goes
there's
off.
There's no way the cement is hardening in 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
I didn't really think about that.
It's
probably doing enough damage that you're not operating that control panel anymore.
I was going with it's more of a deterrent. Like, it'll take time to find it.
Flag first.
Yep.
It's protected.
Fair enough.
you know what? Yeah. Maybe that's why when it blows up, because spoiler alert, they don't stop it. Mm-hmm. Everyone's fine because it was protected in America.
Is that what it
means? That's why.
All right. So, America. Yeah. But anyway, so they set the bomb. They start to load the other bombs onto these trucks, which also, I think we've talked about while watching this, like, why wouldn't you do that first?
Those should already be on their way to where you're going.
Once the bomb is set, you're getting the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's time to GTFO.
No, you're not waiting around for that thing.
Yeah.
So then,
you're not waiting for Billy to tie his shoes. You're just getting the fuck out.
So now, like, Arnold's, like, coming down ropes, snapping people's necks and all that, and we get the Uzi down the stairs scene.
Yep.
So this movie was doing well for a while. There was a good solid 5 minutes where I was like,
okay,
I was picking up what this movie was putting down.
I was wondering how you could say it picked up at the interrogation scene there with the torture or whatever. Because knowing this was coming up, I knew you could not have enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. No. So, like, I'm saying this from, like, perspective of a first-time viewer. All right. So you're kind of into what's happening now. And then Jamie Lee Curtis drops an Uzi down a flight of stairs.
What does that do, Joe?
It kills everyone.
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone.
It's like a death blossom in there. Like, that thing just cartwheels down the stairs, firing bullets in what would appear to be a 360-degree arc. But it's shooting people, like, on the vertical and horizontal.
Right.
And it's not shooting her, even though it's firing in her direction.
Yeah, that's the thing. I will take back. It does not kill everyone. It kills everyone but her and Arnold.
Yep.
For some reason.
Also fires way more bullets than would be in the magazine for that.
More bullets than it has. The trigger is never depressed.
Oh, it's depressed.
Fair enough.
Whole gun is depressed.
Yeah. This is again one of those ones where it's little touches that tend to bother me more than the whole thing. Like, you're trying to get me to believe that dropping this gun down the flight of stairs will cause it to go off. But as you said, they specifically show it wheeling from facing the stairs up towards her direction while firing. Like, that's her dying. That's what we're seeing now, right there.
If this were like a revolver or something where the hammer, or like a pistol where the hammer's exposed and maybe it's somehow causing the hammer to go off. But this is an automatic weapon with an internal firing pin. Like, nothing's going to cause it to accidentally go off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all kinds of ridiculous, but it happened.
Yeah, and then...
Now everybody's dead.
Mm-hmm. So I think I kind of, after that, I think I was puking over the edge of the couch, so I kind of lost track of the events that happened next. But there's something about he makes like a ghetto flamethrower from a fuel truck.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, for some reason, he decides to use his automatic weapon to light a flamethrower instead of just using the automatic weapon to be an automatic weapon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he just seems to determine... for whatever reason, that the gun is not enough. So,
I mean, it was badass looking. Don't get me wrong. Like, 14-year-old Brian was like, whoa, it's awesome. Like,
it just would have been better if he just picked up a lighter and did it.
Well, this is also one where I think it might have been a problem for you because he starts out with two Uzis that he's dual wielding.
Yeah, it's not good.
But one of them, I think, runs out of bullets. The other one, maybe it was low or it just wasn't, there were too many people. I don't know. But so he decides he's going to grab the hoses. Gas truck and light it on fire and just burn everyone to death, which that so wouldn't work either.
So what happens that causes like the big explosion that he's got to jump in the water
for? So once his face grabs a rocket launcher.
Okay. Yes.
He fires it at the gas truck. So yeah, he's got to dive into the
at
water.
At this point, I had to retire to the bathroom to clean myself after vomiting over the edge of the couch.
That's fair. So Helen now thinks he's dead. Juno grabs her, takes her into this limo. They've got her as a hostage because the other dude, Salim?
Yeah.
Salim? Okay. He's like, we might need a hostage, whatever. So
he's like, we all know that didn't kill Arnold.
Yeah. So they all drive off. They're, you know, enacting their plan. They think Arnold's dead, yada, yada, yada.
At some point, he notices... I think during this fire scene, he notices he's going through her shit, and he sees a picture of her and Arnold and their kid. And then, like, he kind of has this, like, I wonder. Then he, like,
we'll get to that in a sec. I will say, though, Mythbusters also confirmed you can dive under the water to escape the explosion.
Yes.
Although bullets, too.
Yes.
Deeper than I think he went, but...
But can you turn the gas truck into a flamethrower with your
gun? I don't think they ever tried that.
As long as the explosion is not in the water with you, you're fine. If it's in the water, you're dead.
Well, then
the
concussion. Yeah, then you're worse. But I think anything they've tested with, like, you know, like, streams of gasoline and fire with that, it's never as cool as it looks in the movies.
Well, also, if I remember correctly, the way this would work is he'd have a really cool flamethrower for about 5 seconds and then it would go back into the tank and just that's the end of your fuel line, and I don't probably cause that to explode. I would imagine.
Well, I think if I remember right, in the episode where they lit the gas leaking out of a gas tank and then the fire went into the gas tank, there was just a fire in the gas tank. And you're still driving the car around.
Oh, okay.
Because it's just the fumes that are lighting on fire. The liquid's still able to be used.
Okay. But yeah.
We digress.
So anyway, they now have Helen hostage. They're driving away. This is when Tom Arnold shows up. He's got a couple Harrier jets and a helicopter. They pick up Arnold. He goes flying after them. Helen is fighting off Juno in this limousine. She ends up killing Potato Man, who was driving it.
Poor Potato Man. He deserved better.
But I guess he just... His one thing in life is to have his foot forever on the gas pedal. Mm-hmm. His car just goes on forever.
He's a big dude, so chances are the weight of his foot, like, is just enough.
That could be.
So the movie, at this point, they're like, Joe, I know you've been through a lot. Here's some Harrier jets. And I was like,
being awesome.
I was like, thank you, movie. Thank you. Because, this next scene's pretty awesome.
Well, all right. So, they come down. They're like, we need to stop these trucks, so the best way we know how is blow up the bridge.
Well, the nuke's going to do it anyway, so fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, they shoot one of the trucks to Hamburger with the cannon first.
Yeah.
And then you got this truck full of assholes here, like gets out like in surface to air missile. Doesn't check behind him at all before he fires it. Just blows one of the dudes out the front windshield with it.
Again, three stooges, man. Yeah. Like, has no one been trained for this shit?
Probably not, actually. Because they probably don't have enough missiles to take practice shots.
I mean, well, someone was trained like 10 years earlier when the U.S. supplied them with the weapons to begin with.
Yeah.
But then that guy was killed before he trained anyone else. So, you know.
It's getting weirdly political. Yeah. All right.
Well, no, but that's actually a problem in a lot of.
I know that's very accurate. That's why I'm kind of steering away from it.
Because they have a huge disciplinary problem where if somebody knows something, he doesn't want to teach anybody else because then he loses his value. But anyway, so yeah, if you fire that thing off inside the truck anyway, you're baking the driver too.
Yeah.
But it does send this one poor guy flying right out the front windshield of his car, right into fake dummy land.
Yeah.
Where he gets run over by the truck, which I don't care, puppet or not, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it.
So the Harriers are like, enough fucking around. Just blow the whole damn bridge up.
Like, legit, like, you see them pull away, like, you know what, fuck this.
Yeah. We're having a hard time getting a target on these trucks, so just blow up the bridge.
And I gotta say, really, really impressive special effects.
Yeah, they don't just get the bridge. They, like, that missile hits that one truck in front, at least. And
Like, does anybody know? Did they build a bridge and destroy it for this scene?
I know they had real Harriers, but I don't know.
Yeah, I do not know.
Because it looks real.
It looks pretty damn real.
Like, the truck looked real. It didn't look like miniatures. It definitely wasn't CGI. So. Yeah.
I wonder if they found a bridge that was being torn down.
That could very well be.
I mean, it was probably like explosive charges were planted on the bridge and that missile was, you know,
didn't work.
Other than that,
it looked real.
On a string, you know,
But anyway, so, you know, one of the trucks goes over, I think, and then finally this last truck with the assholes that just killed their friend screeches to a halt on the edge. And they're like, okay, we're good. We're cool. We're not going to go over.
Now, point of fact, I did not remember this.
Oh, I remembered this.
But I jokingly said, oh, they'll be fine until that one little Tweety bird lands on the front hood and sends them over.
Fucking pelican.
And yes, shortly after I said that, a giant bird comes down and lands in this fucking truck.
Birds are assholes like that. They'd be like, hey, what's going on over here? That was a close call. Oh! Fly
away. Not a problem for me.
But, I mean, even worse than that is that this truck falls 5 feet. It just tips over the edge, plops 5 feet, and explodes into a fireball.
Well, there were warheads on there.
Yes.
But they would not go off.
Certainly not like that.
No.
I would argue, I was arguing that they probably have some other form of explosives that could have caused that.
Maybe.
That's possible.
Sure. Well, these guys were pretty amateurish. There could have just been one of those generic explosive fuel barrels on there for some reason.
I think one of them was like, oh, I'm going to die. I better pull all the pins on my grenades right now.
Yeah, something like that. Who knows?
He did it when he saw the pelican. He's gonna throw that at it.
I'll kill it.
Yeah. Hey, pelican, fetch.
It was the guy was getting ready to fire the missile launcher at it. So, meanwhile, the limo is like miles behind them, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Tia Carrere and Jamie Lee Curtis are just going at it.
Yeah.
Beating the shit out of each other.
Big old cat fight.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hot if we could see it better.
I don't know. I thought it was reasonably
clearer than any Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
So. I enjoyed myself.
And she puts her foot right on Tia Carrere's face and like kicks her across the limo.
Oh yeah.
And just grabs a wine bottle and just beats the hell out of her.
It does a good job of getting the gun up through the sunroof and knocking her hand against the side of the car until she drops it. And all's going well until they start getting towards where this bridge is out. She does knock out Tia Carrere here and starts to think she was going for the gun at first, but she sees the bridge is out and she sees Arnold is coming through on a helicopter. So we get a big dramatic moment where, you know, he's got to fly down and snatch her up.
Mm-hmm. Admittedly, it's a pretty cool shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she's being hung over a green screen, but it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like they really did pull someone out of, yeah. out of the Paul limo. Like, yeah,
I mean, that, it wasn't Jamie Lee Curtis, right. clearly, but yeah, they did pull someone out. Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty cool. He rescues her.
Yeah. I was like, they didn't know how to end this scene, so they just cut away.
Yeah.
She's in the helicopter somehow.
Through the power of jump cuts.
Yeah. yeah. And then she's like, sploosh.
yep.
Well, she realizes it's like she's not going to die.
Well, about that, she seems like everything's good and fine now, so they start making out as a nuclear bomb goes off in the background.
Nuclear makeouts.
That's just so much wrong with this. I mean, not we're hiding in a fridge to survive bad, but...
No, it's not even close.
No.
But I'm pretty sure that's all that's going to be left of your makeouts is a shadow.
That's what I was saying. Distance.
Yeah. Like if they put the thumb up, it would not cover the blast cloud. Like.
Yeah. That's the rule.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fallout.
But the other thing I was thinking after this, Tom Arnold should have come over and be like, dude, we really got to go save your daughter because you're not going to have any more after this. So yeah. Let's go. You two are sterile.
Okay. So now they live. I guess it's not 100% clear where he lives, but I thought that he lived in D.C.
It was very, I thought Miami as well for this.
Yeah. So this dude went all the way up to D.C. to get his daughter and then came back.
Yep.
In like an hour.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's what I was saying.
Traffic was good that day.
And like, that's what he chose to do with his time? Even if he called somebody from the island and was like, get her, bring her here. In an hour?
You know, I mean...
Yeah, there's a lot of confusing time elements to this movie. Yeah. But
some weird priorities.
So anyway, somehow, he got out there. He's in a building. He's threatening to blow it shit up. But he wants... a newscast to come in and let him get his word out.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he whatchamacallit? He's got like a whole group of probably like 20 or so terrorists on the 21st floor.
Yep.
Harry's like, all right, give me that jet. I got this.
Gotta go save my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he gets in the Harrier. He takes off, sort of. Tries a bunch of shit.
Yeah, that's another one I didn't get. Where I'm like. You know, I'm no expert pilot or anything, but, you know, it's just a handle for up. Like, just go up. You know, I can see you're having trouble controlling, like, the horizontal and stuff, but figure that out after you go up. Because he's just, like, 3 feet off the ground, bumping everything with the landing gear.
Yeah, drops back down, destroys his police car.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't know how to operate a VTOL. Yeah.
No.
You know.
No. I mean, the first time I tried to fly the helicopter in Battlefield 2, I literally just flipped upside down and then flew back into the ground.
So, I mean, you know, a little leeway.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
He is a spy, but that doesn't mean he has, you know,
yeah,
vehicle training beyond, like, cars and stuff.
All right.
Well, they do make a comment about how he has flown one of these before. Because I guess it's been a long time or something like that.
All right.
But I would go more with the thing of, like, I don't blame him for not being able to fly it very well, but at that point, maybe don't get behind the wheel.
Whatever, trying to save his daughter.
Yeah, anyway.
So check out this planning. He's like, all right, I got two floors to this Miami high-rise, right? Floor 21, I got my army of goons. Floor 22, it's me, the nuke, and, like, three guys.
Yep.
Then that's where we're going to keep the hostage and everything that's important to this operation.
Yep.
And, yeah, yeah, so that's when...
By the way, hostage, Elijah Dushku, she's sitting on a stool.
Yep.
She's not tied up being washed or anything.
Yeah, like one of those three guys who should be watching her? Yeah, nope.
Nope. Just sitting on a stool.
How about we just leave her alone with the operating key for all these nukes?
Sounds like a good idea.
They send in a reporter the other eight part of the Tom Arnold, Arnold Schwarzenegger team here, that creepy computer hacking guy.
But they definitely pat him down before they let him inside, right?
They check out the goods.
They totally make sure he does not have a gun.
They did not frisk his camera.
Yeah.
No, of course they
did. Why would you check that? Judging by how things went earlier, I'm not sure they know how cameras work.
They're one tech guy. I think Arnold broke his neck. So he's like, with that, you know, with that arming key, I could set this nuclear bomb off. And the fucking dumbass reporter's like, well, what arming key?
Yeah, I want to shoot this guy in the head. Yeah.
And
like, well, he does get shot. He's Jimmy Olsen, so he'll die.
Yeah, the desert somewhere. Last week. Or was it last week?
Maybe.
He says that every week. Don't worry about it.
So, Dana's just like, oh, I got your key. Yoink, and runs away. Yep. And it's like, was anybody guarding the pathway up to the roof? Nope.
Anybody watching her? Anybody want to stop her?
Does she
her?
Have a motorcycle? Because if she does, we're screwed.
Once again.
No, he's good if there's a motorcycle. If it's a horse, it's over.
Oh, okay.
We also have the problem of, like, he's like, you know, who took the key? Where's the key? And, like, she, like, is doing, like, cartoon-style sneak away. Like, I don't know. Don't look at me. Oh, now I'm going to run. Like, you would have shot her. Just shoot her. She's not that important.
Yeah.
And why'd she run up and not down?
Because she's stupid.
Well, if she ran down, like, they were just shooting off guns in the stairwell. Like, there were guys there guarding it.
Okay.
So, anyway, things don't go well on the 21st floor, or the 20th floor after this, because there's just a bunch of goons there chilling. Big-ass Harrier jet just pulls up. It's like, how you guys doing? Let me show you my 20-milliliter cannon here.
And just wipes out this entire floor.
The 20th floor just disappears.
Which, we had a few things to say about this.
Okay.
One, like, he didn't really seem to do a good job of making sure, like, his buddy wasn't on that floor.
Or his daughter.
His daughter wasn't on that floor.
The film crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone of any importance.
Well, actually, at that point, the agent did say there's the hostage or the, or they were not on the 20th floor. They did mention that.
Oh, did they?
Because that was after he pulled the gun out of his camera and shot the three guys that were guarding him.
Oh, okay.
So at this point, all the terrorists are dead except for Salim.
Wait, also, so...
Oh, and the guys on the helicopter.
So the other agent pulled his gun out and shot the three guys on that on the 21st floor,
but
everybody on the 20th floor was just chilling?
Yeah.
Okay. But the other thing is...
Class D goons.
This Harrier jet, when it starts firing into there, that's probably going to cause some structural damage, wouldn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, like, what the gun would do to, like, the support beams of a building, but...
Not good, I can tell you.
Yeah, probably not anything good.
I'll tell you one thing. When he's out shooting the helicopter that's out there.
Yep. I was getting to that.
When he misses the helicopter, and those bullets fly right past him towards the ground, all the buildings. Yeah, those people are dead.
Yeah.
That's a lot of casualties. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, most of it does hit the water, but it does take a chunk out of that building.
Yeah, just with reckless abandon, just firing at shit. But anyway.
He loves his daughter.
Not without my baby.
Yeah. So now, well, Liza Dushku's just hanging on a crane.
Yeah, she runs to the roof. She gets out on a crane. She's holding the key out. She's like, you know, if you hurt me, I'll drop this and yada yada. He's like, no, don't worry. Just come in. It's all going to be good. I'm going to keep you alive and things are going to be great. Just
No one's going to get hurt. Just let me arm my nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Then I'll let you go. It doesn't make any sense.
Nope. But she's not buying it anyway. She's calling his bluff, but she starts to fall. But thank God there's a green screen. A Harrier jet below her.
and here's where the Harrier jet stops being cool.
Right there. And it goes down in flames.
Mm-hmm.
So Arnold's trying to balance his plane underneath her because, like, he wants her to jump on or get in or whatever. I'm not even sure exactly what his plan was here, but the dude starts shooting at them, busts up the cockpit quite a bit. She ends up falling onto the plane, but is grasping desperately to this cockpit window thing.
She should have got sucked into the intakes.
Probably should have. Again, I also think there would have been a lot of issues with her grabbing at that broken glass. Like, I'm sure it's not just glass. It's some
it's
kind of plastic.
Not glass.
It's sharp, jagged pieces.
Also, her hearing's gone. She's gone.
Well, that's because of all that music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All that Madonna and stuff that's raising her. And Axl Rose, was it?
Yeah.
But the dude falls on the back of this plane and, like, jumps down to it or whatever.
Goofiness ensues.
Yeah. He tries shooting at him, but he almost falls, drops the gun that gets caught on the back of the plane. And
yeah.
He, like, backs through a window to a different building. And I'm like, there goes your plane right there. You're done. That's over.
No, but instead it just causes this terrorist guy to go flying backwards and smash his nutsack on the tail. Because that's how that works.
Which would totally still be there.
Mm. I mean, this is one step away from that scene in Hot Shots where the guy's just walking on the wing trying to staple it back on.
We're getting there. Yeah. The helicopter is circling around. It keeps firing at him. I don't know why it's going around the building.
Well, because he's firing a big-ass machine gun at it.
Yeah, but they're firing at him, too, and they seem to be doing a lot better.
They're firing
They have an M60 at
fair enough.
You're not winning that match.
Okay. But, he does some tricky maneuvers. Mm-hmm. He tells her to hold on tight and banks left or whatever.
Do a barrel roll.
Yeah. Dude goes falling off almost, but gets caught on this missile. He sees the helicopter through the huge chunk he took out of this building. He's like,
Get off my plane. Oh.
This looked like a good idea on paper.
Like, you're fired.
This did not translate to film.
You're fired.
All right.
fires this missile. The guy, again, turns into a cartoon and goes whipping off down through the building and into this helicopter. Big explosion. Everyone's cheering and hurrah. The people are dead.
Debris is killing everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one cop does like a sweet slow-mo jump over the hood of his car to escape the falling helicopter.
Which, hooray.
I guarantee you this plane is not landing like in its current configuration.
Probably not.
If you had that much trouble taking off, there's no way he's landing it with his daughter hanging on the front of it.
But of course he does. And again, just causing some damage to a cop car because fuck those things, apparently. Everybody's home safe and sound. Mm. Hooray, hurrah, yippity-doo.
Yahoo.
The news covers up his name and his face so he could keep being a spy, I guess. And we cut to 1 year later where we see they're having a little game night, I guess you might call it.
I would not want to engage him in a thumb war.
No, what the hell?
Was terrifying.
Yeah. I honestly, I said this while watching this, but when I saw that face, I imagined he was just going to rip both their arms off.
It was Total Recall face.
He was
having flashbacks on the surface of Mars.
Yeah, like what happened to the bad guy, to Michael Ironsides in Total Recall. He got his arms ripped off.
Yep. Just a note for anyone that ever gets into a thumb wrestling contest with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Don't.
Let the Wookiee win. But Sasquatch.
Unless you're Stallone, I guess.
Oh, the faces that would produce.
Turn his hat backwards.
We'll see one day. Or Carl Weathers, maybe. Mm. Anyway.
Got an ass like a 10-year-old.
So.
You son of a bitch.
So we find out, we get a call. It turns out they're both spies now. They go out on a mission. I think they're in the same damn place.
1 year an elite agent makes.
Yeah, why not? Hold on a second.
Now, it could be that they were role-playing a getaway for themselves because it was Boris and Doris.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could have been like, you know, an anniversary kind of thing. Like, you know, let's
the way resources are used at this agency, it's
that's possible, both, although know. I don't.
They never say what their objective is. So just go to this fancy place and look good.
Their objective is to make Bill Paxton pee himself.
Yeah,
because he shows up again. They break him the hell out. I would say, however, if that is the case, why is Tom Arnold so upset that they're dancing? You'd think he would just be like, they can take it from here.
He wants them to get to banging.
Yeah, he's a perv.
He brought a whole box of tissues.
He put those cigarettes in that room so he can wash all his glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so that's True Lies from 1994. So on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 72%. Audiences gave this a score of 76%. That's their thoughts and opinions and possible recommendations. What about you and yours, Rob?
I'll recommend it. I mean, it's nothing amazing, but it was certainly watchable. It had funny moments. You get to see most of Jamie Lee Curtis. And there are some cool scenes in there. It's like it's a totally watchable afternoon while you're doing whatever movie. So, yeah, sure.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, this is a great have in the background while you're doing something kind of movie. Just like, if you're playing a video game or something, just pause it for a few parts to watch like the bathroom gun battle, Jamie Lee Curtis's dance, the Harriers blowing shit up, and then go back to what you're doing. It's fun. It's a harmless movie. It's not the most intelligently thought out movie in the world, and probably my least favorite James Cameron movie, but like it's still good.
Okay, Brian.
It's a solid C movie. So like I'd say, you know, go ahead and watch it. It won't do you any harm. It is something you have on the background and be fine watching. The take out Tom Arnold and take out some of the vulgarity.
Wow.
Like there's no reason why this couldn't be like a family movie. You know what I mean? Like literally, there's no reason for it to be R. Like really, because even people dying is like not that much blood stuff happening in it. Like you know, it's he says pussy and fuck a couple times. And like that's really like what makes it R. I think like it'd be PG-13 otherwise. Like
the ass like a 10-year-old boy.
Like take some of that out. But like because Tom Arnold's funny wasn't the funny in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't even the parts that you laughed at most. You know, there was kind of moments. But yeah, you know, I'd watch it again. Like, you know, it wouldn't be like next on my list, but you know, if it was on, I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Light recommend. It's you know, as said, perfect hangover movie or something. Like, if you're not paying too much attention, like you can miss most of the beginning of that. Like, other than the bathroom scene, I think things don't really kick off till Arnold starts, you know, getting into the stalking and busting in with a SWAT team to bust up Helen's affair and stuff. And before that, it kind of drags a little. But it's nothing offensive, nothing terrible. Just kind of pointless action and fun. So, sure, if it'd recommend.
14-year-old Brian was all about this movie.
Oh, yeah, back in the day. I really enjoyed it.
Blowing up. Arnold, I think he still had some okay movies left before it was all downhill for his movies. But, like.
That's why, like.
This was, like, kind of his last grasp.
Yeah.
As I said before, like, I don't know how often I've seen the full movie, but I've seen parts of this quite a bit. Because anytime this comes on, like, TNT or something like that, it's worth, you know, watching wherever. And just enjoy. So, yeah, we're recommending True Lies. So, we got that for you. What else we got for the people here, Brian?
D20 of Fate time. Time to make that roll. See what we watch next. And I believe it's Tony's turn. We've done our rotation.
I believe so. So
you get to roll something.
Roll that shiz.
That's 12. Oh, one.
I was nervous.
All right. So 12 is 1989's Ghostbusters 2.
Word.
Whoa.
All right.
Wow.
So there you go.
All right.
Vigo.
All right.
Hey.
Okay. I don't even know how to feel here. Apprehensive, I think, would be the best.
No, I like Ghostbusters 2.
I remember liking this movie at the time.
Yeah, this is when we're like, I remember liking it at the time, but I have a feeling time will not be kind to this also, movie.
This movie terrified me way more than it should have.
That bathroom scene.
We'll talk about it when we get to the episode.
Yeah, that one got me. Anyway, all right, so yeah, that's a thing that's going to happen. Rob, what else we got for the people?
Ray banging a toaster. Anyway, all we got for the people is an episode every week. So if you liked this one, why don't you go ahead and subscribe so you can hear those episodes every week. If you want to hear our older episodes, you can go to our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can find all of our old episodes there, as well as our store and all kinds of interesting stuff. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at 4ampodcast. And of course, you can email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So, thank you all for joining us here for True Lies. Hope you join us next week for Ghostbusters 2. But until then...
Deuces.
Wait. I have a joke from my mom.
Oh, God.
She asked me to share it with you guys, so I decided I'm going to share it with everyone.
Oh, dear Lord.
Never run with bagpipes. You could put an eye out, or worse... get killed. You're welcome.
I'm going home now.
Good night, everybody.
Deuces.
Adios.
Tony's waving us off.
I'm done.